The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And welcome back. We've hit the final hour of the week. The week of the national championship game is always a turning point for us. We end the regular season and the postseason. We move on to everything else that encompasses mid to late winter. But this week has not disappointed, if I could say that myself. I'm not the ombudsman of the show, but this is the week in review. Started with Joe from Red Bay, Alabama.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul. And you know what? I'm in a good state today. I am. I mean, because for one thing, Georgia didn't beat us. They've never beat us. I mean, they probably won't win another in their lifetime if it takes them 41, 42 years to do it. Paul, we played them twice, and we outscored them by 2 points. I mean, and their offense actually did worse this game than they did in the ACC title game.
Joe, let me ask you this. Why can't you just admit, hey, we got stomped in the fourth quarter. We lost to a better team. Will you repeat after me, Joe? Say we.
We.
Got.
Got.
Beat. Last night.
Not beat. But I did say beat. I put beat in there.
Well, it escalated from there.
I want to talk to Legend about him, that nonsense about kissing the ring. And,
hey, Legend,
and,
are you there?
And all that.
Oh, shut the hell up. You won one championship. So you LSU, you beat us 1 out of 8. What we are is the greatest friggin' college football program to ever step foot on a football field, dumbass. That's
but not,
what
not
we
today,
are.
Though, baby.
You
not today. Not today.
You shut your mouth. I'm talking. Have a conversation or shut your damn
not today,
mouth.
You ain't. Not today, you ain't.
Oh, hell, you whooping. That's what you are. You are a shooting star program.
Right.
You'll win another one 40 friggin' years from now while I'm celebrating 10 more in the process.
The next day, he called back.
What's going on, Feinbaum?
Legend.
Yeah, I hear a lot of folks running their mouth. Running their mouth about the legend. Well, let me tell you something. I'm East Coast, baby. All you weak-back Southern boys don't know nothing about East Coast. East Coast, we talk trash when we win. We talk trash when we lose. Let me ask you something, Feinbaum, because you about to piss me off, dude.
Mm.
Don't put it past me to slap them big ears of yours and make you fly back to Indianapolis like a butterfly. I got more football knowledge in my little finger than you got between them two big dumbbells on your ear, buddy.
Well, if you thought that was peak, you clearly were wrong. This happened Thursday afternoon.
You had two 1,000-yard receivers off your ball team. They didn't beat a good ball team, and if anybody from Georgia thinks that they're the number one team, that's horse.
Fred, do you live in by yourself, or do you have family members that look after you?
No, I've got family.
Okay. Because, Fred, I don't like to say what I'm about to say, but you need help if you think that.
No, you need help.
Oh, I do?
You need help if you can't realize that second, third ball teams are supposed to be able to play as good as first string players are.
Okay, so if Georgia is not the best team in the country, would you like to enlighten us on who is?
Alabama was, because we beat them with a healthy ball team. How could Georgia take any kind of pride about beating a team with 2,000-yard receivers gone? The only fair game that Alabama played with Georgia was the SEC championship. And what did Alabama do to them then? We slaughtered them.
Okay. Well,
with a healthy ball team, Alabama wins. With an unhealthy ball team, Alabama doesn't win.
I don't want to sound like we're in kindergarten, but
answer my question.
So what? Big deal.
Who's the best team? Alabama was. When they were healthy, they beat the snot out of them. Well,
Yeah, they did beat the snot out of them. You're right about that. I completely agree on that assessment.
Okay. So you agree that Alabama?
No, I agree with is this: Alabama beat the snot out of Georgia in December, and then I would also agree that in January Georgia beat the snot back out of Alabama.
No, they didn't beat the snot back out of Alabama.
The snot that came out of Georgia ended up coming out of Alabama in Indianapolis. I mean, I was there. I looked on the field, snot everywhere. It is Friday. We will get back to live programming. And Melanie is in Georgia. Hello, Melanie. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I'm a big Georgia fan. You know, I'll admit that coming into the show, and I'm proud to be a dog. However, I do have a question that I don't think has been presented to your friend Fred. All right, first of all, had Georgia won the SEC championship, would that have made them the best team in the country? If Georgia had won the won the SEC championship, Alabama wouldn't have been playing for the title.
But you know what's so interesting, Melanie, is that if I'm an Alabama fan, Alabama's won two national championships under Nick Saban when they didn't even win their own division in the SEC.
Correct. Yes. So, like I said, so my question is, right, you know, had the shoe been on the other foot? So Georgia wins SEC, but they lose to Alabama in the national.
Yeah.
Does that make Georgia the winner?
I studied logic.
You know?
I understand the theory of syllogisms. I didn't follow Fred, but I am not giving up. I'm going to work hard on a doctorate to try to understand his philosophical logic.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, we all need to understand that if it's at all possible. However, it's just Fred and Handsome Joe, they need to go, okay? We've heard enough of them. And, yes, Alabama's always been great, and Georgia's working on it, and here we are. Hopefully we'll have a great year next year. But the last thing I'll say and let you go is that I tried to get in touch with you prior to the championship. Tried and tried. Couldn't get through. And I was going to say to you, if you have any way of getting in touch with Kirby or letting him know about this, but he might want to walk into that stadium with some sunglasses on, because when he would walk in that stadium, look across at Nick Saban, he'd always have that deer in the headlights look. So I was like, dude, you don't have a poker face, okay? So let's wear some sunglasses. I didn't get through, but, you know, that's something to consider at some point. It might make him a little more comfortable in some way.
Well,
but
I'm glad you – I think he's
so
overcome
much.
That and
yes,
having a great
–
So
yeah.
He can skip the Ray-Ban the next time around. Dan is in Tennessee. Hello, Dan. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. You know, I'm not a Georgia fan, but I do bark. I go for a walk in my neighborhood and don't bark at me, and it's kind of rude to not bark back and not speaking to you. And so if you're a little dog, I was a big dog, woof, woof, woof. And they tell me, I like it when they listen, if a dog will listen to me. But some of them just keep barking, they're rude. They're a little bit like legends, they just keep talking, you know. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, there's a lot of Georgia fans that would love to call you, but they're too nervous. I get nervous. Before I call, I just get nervous, and I say, and I just deal with it. But those Georgia fans that are too nervous to call, they need to call and just bark like a dog. I'm a Hurricane fan, Tennessee fan. I wish we had a bulldog. Why can't we be the Miami Bulldogs or the Tennessee Bulldogs? Then I could bark. I like barking. I mean, woof.
Thank you. Cat Daddy, can you bark?
Well. Hey, Paul, I'll tell you what, man. I enjoy the show, and I've been listening all week long. And I want to congratulate the Georgia Bulldogs. But I'm going to tell you something about the Alabama fans, especially Legend, has disappointed me. Y'all need to be South Carolina fans for a couple of years, and then you might appreciate things you've done in the college football. I think they'd appreciate what they've done a whole lot more if they suffered like us Gamecocks. And you know we suffered, Paul.
Well, not anymore, though.
No, we're fixing to come back big time, and I better tell Kirby and Saban, watch out for that young kid. We're going to whoop some butt. And South Carolina is coming back, and we're going to take that natty. We're going to take that natty, and we'll listen to the rest of them grind, whine, and moan.
I think I tell you what, Cat Daddy, I'm predicting a natty for South Carolina on the first weekend in April this year.
In basketball?
Women's basketball, yes.
Okay, well, I'll take that. That's good, but I'm telling you, our day is coming. Every dog has a day, and South Carolina's day is coming. Just as soon as we see Dabo Swinney go 6 feet under, I hope.
Thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. We still have 15 minutes remaining for this week. We're not counting the minutes down. Please don't get that idea.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Let's get back to the calls here and what's been an entertaining week of callers. How about Mike in South Carolina? Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
An awesome job. I'll say that right away. I wanted to share a story with you. It's a little different than college football right now. I know that is. But just recently you had a guy on that was from South Florida that was in the golf business.
Yes.
And he mentioned John Daly and signing a golf bag for you. Well, I caddied on the PGA Tour for 21 years, and I was on the scene when John Daly won his first PGA event at Crooked Stick in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. 91?
And, yes, sir. And I was working for Davis Love at the time.
Man,
and my roommate at that time was a guy named Jeff Medlin, who his regular bag was Nick Price.
Right.
And we were staying together that week, and, of course, all the caddies had nicknames, and Jeff's nickname was Squeaky. and he has since died of leukemia. But the story goes that Nick Price's wife was having a baby, and he withdrew from the golf tournament. And since his caddy was already there with me, he called the tournament to see who was the next one up as far as the next qualifier, and it was a guy named John Daly. So he got in touch with John Daly, introduced himself, and he said, I was just wondering, you're going to the tournament now, do you need a caddy? He said, well, I was just going to drive from Memphis to Indianapolis and try to find one. He said, I was wondering if you'd take my caddy because he's already there, and I just withdrew. He said, I'd love to. He said, his name's Squeaky, and he's a very good caddy. We've done real well together. I think he'll do well for you. So he calls the hotel, tells Squeaky that he's got a job, and it's with a guy named John Daly. He said, I don't know anything about him other than he hits it a mile. So when he got through with the phone conversation, Squeaky said to me, he says, I got a job with the guy that hits it as far as Davis Love. I said, well, good. We'll talk about the golf course, and which we did talk about the golf course and what Davis was going to do off some of these tricked up tees that Pete Dye built that golf course. And it was a little tricky, as all of them are with him. And so he went out the next day with John, and he told him we had talked about it, and this is what Davis is going to do here. And John's response was, I'm hitting driver on every hole. I don't care what Davis does. So as it ends up, Paul, he wins a golf tournament just out of the blue, a qualifier that wasn't even on the tour. He wins a PGA with that caddy Squeaky. And it was just a heartwarming story for me to be staying with him. And because we stay together, he pays for the room. So, for me, that's because I just wanted to share.
Well, first of all, I'm really intrigued. I've gotten to know John really well, and you know what kind of guy he is. And I'll never forget that tournament as long as I live, because the whole country was in shock. And by the time we got to Sunday, as you know, the expectations were there's no, and this is like a Happy Gilmore movie, or Tin Cup, and there was no way he was going to win, and he did. And you know what I've always thought the most amazing thing about John was the fact that he ended up winning the British Open too. And you know, he was anything but a one-hit wonder.
Right, but the thing about the British Open, I'll share this with you.
Sure.
Is we played with him, the guy I was caddying for at Augusta 1 year. And people don't know this, but John Daly's got the best hands in golf as far as short game. So anyway, we were talking one day, and he told us, he said, when I won the British Open, I was broke. I couldn't even pay for my hotel room. And the reason is he was a compulsive gambler, if he's not still. And whenever you went to a place that had one of those boats, like Tunica, Mississippi, very close, John was there all night. So he said he was broke, couldn't even pay for his hotel room. But I've been out with him a lot, and he's
Mike,
a
how
great
long were
guy.
You with Davis Love?
I was with Davis for 3 years.
Okay.
We won three events, and we lost two playoffs.
Because, I mean, Davis was as smooth as they come.
Oh, he was awesome. But I worked for other guys, too. I won 11 times out there, and it was quite an experience. But you run into these guys that inside the ropes is totally different than outside the ropes.
No, I would love – I mean, I have a I don't play golf anymore, but I used to cover – I covered John's first trip to the Masters, and you remember that, I'm sure. I mean, no, Augusta had never seen anything like John Daly. I mean, there were so many people following him – the first couple of rounds, you couldn't get anywhere. It was pre-Tiger, and not by much.
Well,
but
and it was like any other event that he was in, Paul. They probably sold out of beer early.
Yeah.
Because most of those guys that enjoyed watching him, they came to drink a lot of beer on the golf.
He was – I played with him in a Pro-Am once, and it was such an amazing experience to watch him. And later to get to know him as through this program in Arkansas. And he's just such a great, such a warm guy. And he's overcome so much, and there's no telling how much money he's made and lost and made back again.
Well, and if for Ely Callaway, taking care of him when he was probably at his lowest low, and giving him a contract and helping him out.
Right.
you know, I can go on and on with my stories. Well, I need to write
Mike, before you go, I'm just curious because you're right. It is different inside the ropes, but in terms of what differentiated those who won and not? Was it? I mean, I know it's putting a lot, but you know, what's the pressure like on Sunday at some of these tournaments?
Well, for a caddy, it's enormous pressure. I've stood on the 18th tee at Augusta in a practice round, my head just be splitting because you're scared of making a mistake. But all these guys I won with, Curtis Strange, Lanny Watkins,
sure.
Worked for Payne Stewart, these guys I won with, they have the tunnel vision when they're inside the ropes, very professional, very workmanlike, and they had very few mistakes, and they're all great putters, Paul.
Yeah. No, I've always felt a great golfers, and I've had the opportunity when I covered golf to be around a lot. I mean, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but to win on Sunday, I mean, you almost have to have the mentality of a serial killer.
Well, yeah, you have to be able to block everything out. There's some that could do it. Some I work with couldn't do it. But you learn to do that over the years. It's enormous practicing and getting to that point. A lot of sacrifices if you want to be the best in the world. Just a lot going on out there that people just go to a tournament and see them hit it 300 yards off the tee and walk up the fairway. And just it's totally different. And it's totally different for a caddy that has a player that when you go to the tee on Thursday morning, you feel like you win. And you just amp up your job, everything you do, because they trust you, and you're kind of like
people don't know is being a caddy is like being Nick Saban's offensive coordinator after a bad play, where you are going to get blamed a lot of the times, aren't you?
Oh yeah, you have to be a psychologist, a babysitter. Don't say certain words like "don't," and just. You got to take a lot of, not abuse, but they've never hit a bad shot in their life.
No, it's always, the caddy, it's always we until, how come you told me the putt broke to the left?
Right, right. And they're going to blame their wife. They know better. They're going to blame you.
Well, I could talk to you all day. I hope you'll call back. I would love to continue this sometime.
Well, I got a few more stories I want to share with you, so I will call back another time and just share those with you. I'm sorry, Jim from Tuscaloosa couldn't have heard this because I know.
Yeah, Mike, before you go, a serious question. Did you caddy for Jim when he won Augusta in what year was it? I can't remember what year it was, but it was a couple, maybe the year Hogan, he beat Hogan in a playoff.
I started off. With him, and on the second tee, he hooks it left, and we go down there. And he says, "Don't say anything to me. I'm gonna hit this shot. I'm gonna hit it under that stem out in the fairway." And he looks at me and says, "You can say something now if you want to." I said, "Okay, it wasn't your ball, boss." And I got fired right.
Mike, call again. I cannot wait for the next conversation. That's really cool. As somebody who used to cover golf for 20 years, inside the ropes is the stories are endless, and that was a priceless conversation there. We will come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Larry is in Houston. Larry, good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening, Paul. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up your interview with Sam Pittman. It was really good. I really love that guy as a coach. I wish him well in his career, except when he's playing Alabama, of course. But some of the comments you made about the transfer portal, I think, is really a problem for these coaches now. And I was wondering, I think earlier in the week you had mentioned something like around almost 1,500 players had entered the portal at that point. And I'm wondering if there's some way that the major colleges, you know, they go out there and they spend so much effort recruiting these 5- and 4-star players and then really only get to play maybe the super stud 5-star guy through the season, and the other boys sit on the bench unless there's a runaway game, and then they get to come and play in the fourth quarter when it doesn't mean anything. And if it would be wise on the coach's part to maybe try to sprinkle these fellas in these, especially in the key positions, during a game when things are still kind of on the line, to give them exposure. And I think the situation that Alabama experienced Monday night was rather obvious. I mean, with the 2 wide receivers out and their 2 deep secondaries out, the replacements just didn't quite cut the mustard.
No, they did not seem like they were ready. And that was I've never seen that before with a Nick Saban coach team. But one thing about the portal right now that I hear from coaches all the time is that the places that it is affecting the most is high school recruiting. That there are less opportunities for high school players, because there are seasoned players in the portal that are more valuable than, I'm not talking about the 5-star creme de la creme, but the next level guys have fewer opportunities and places to go.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that aspect of it. Well, it's just something that I know Sam had mentioned it, that it's really a difficult situation for the coaches. Because, as you mentioned, I think, earlier today, also that the state of flux that the teams are in, now that they've got this portal option, you don't have players that sign up and, okay, they're there for 4 years until they're maybe eligible to go pro. Now, hell, they're eligible into the portal after, what, their 2nd year, I believe?
And Larry, right now, we heard the guy, Aaron Suttles, an hour ago. I mean, Alabama has lost about 75% of its offense.
Yes, I heard that.
So if you're Nick Saban right now, you're going, where can we go get a great wide receiver? And, you know, And that would put everybody at a vulnerable position, because if you're a wide receiver at almost any school in the country, and I'm talking about elite wide receivers, and you've got maybe a quarterback who is good but not great, and you go, okay, I can go play for Bryce Young, who can do anything. Look at Jameson Williams. I mean, Jameson Williams was the 4th receiver at Ohio State last year. Look what happened to him.
Exactly. You get a chance to go someplace and show your wares on especially with national exposure.
Yeah. I'm talking about somebody that's already played a year or two. And
oh, sure.
I'm thinking, am I going to spend another year at Wisconsin or Michigan State, even though they're good programs, when I can go to Alabama and maybe become a first-round pick?
Yeah, that's true. And I noticed in the game, and I watched the game, rewatched the game again. I had to cry a little bit more, I guess. But and by the way, I do want to congratulate Georgia. They are definitely were the better team that night. And no matter what some of the diehard Alabama fans say, I went to school there 65 years ago, and I've been a fan forever. But Georgia, it was Georgia's night, and they got it. But as you've said also, climbing the hill is the hard part, but it's even harder to stay at the top. So we'll see how that goes over the years.
Yeah, you know, Larry, that's what I think ultimately differentiates the absolute best in any field. And you've heard the Saban story. And Kirby Smart is pretty similar. He does not deviate. He does not change. But you don't know what this is going to be like for him. I don't think it's going to change him. But Saban almost hated to have to win because it distracted him from doing what he likes to do. He hated the week at the championship game. He hated the parades, the trip to the White House, all the things that we like took him away from recruiting and strategizing. Thank you very much for the call. Really nice to hear from you. Let's check in next with Wade, who is in Georgia. Hey, Wade.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
I love your show, man. I just want to say go Dawgs, and we're getting ready to go to the parade in the morning, and super excited.
What is the weather okay there? Because where we are being inundated with winter storm warnings and snow and ice. What's it like in Athens?
It's just cold right now,
okay.
Paul. Rain, sleet, snow, or shine, we're going to be there in the morning. So
yeah, I wouldn't think the blizzard of 2022 would stop Georgia fans from showing up tomorrow.
No, sir, it would not.
Well, thank you. You enjoy it. You certainly have all earned the moment. Jacob is in Oklahoma. Hello, Jacob.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Good deal. Just talking about the transfer portal, do you think there's going to be any limitations set on the transfer portal as active as it has been here lately?
Yeah, at some point, I think we heard Coach Pittman allude to it. They're going to try to put some teeth back in it. Now, how successful that is, I don't know. It's not easy to go in there and rearrange the rules. But and you have to have, and I think the evidence is there that they probably should, but that doesn't mean right now the mood in college athletics is to liberalize the restrictions as opposed to make them more biting and restrictive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's definitely kids that, I mean, do take advantage of the transfer portal in the right way. But, I mean, for instance, Spencer Rattler going to South Carolina, did he really have a reason to leave other than him not playing? And with him being at South Carolina, do you think he's going to be able to succeed in the SEC?
Well, I know they're optimistic, and they should be, but you don't know. And with Spencer Rattler, I mean, what we have to all quit doing, including myself, is to say he was a Heisman favorite. He played terribly last year, and that's why he lost his job, and that's why he is now gone.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. With Rattler being that five-star out of high school, everybody expected so much more.
JT Daniels was a five-star, too.
Exactly. I mean, I completely agree. The expectations for these high school kids coming out of high school are just, I mean, they're so through the roof that sometimes when they don't pan out.
But, Jacob, tell me this, and I don't know because I don't follow recruiting as closely as many of you do, but, I mean, if you play at Matter Day or where JT did or other players, I mean, you can look – I mean, you're good, but you have elite players around you, just like we saw this year with Bryce Young when he lost two of his elite players. He didn't look as good, even though he still put the ball exactly where he would have put it with the elite receivers. You don't look quite as good when they don't catch it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.